Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Alien Protector's Stars by Melissa Emerald, narrated by Reagan West and Gabrielle De Leon. Chapter 1. Alana.
Do you think if we asked them to strip down and wrestle naked, they would?
Chastity muses aloud. That earns her a playful swat from Serena. But all the ladies and I laugh as we sit here, lounging in the shade of a huge alien tree. A tree with bright red leaves as big as a person, and a scent not dissimilar to black licorice. You know these alien boys are crazy obsessed. Even as I say the words, there are clusters of the Trixica aliens, all keeping their eyes trained on either our little group of girls, or where Bee and Sky are over by the cook fire, having absolutely insisted on helping prepare the food. They'd be tripping over their own damn tongues to do anything you ask. Chastity twists where she sits cross-legged on the ground to face the rest of us women. Oh, I can think of something better for them to do with their tongues. Her brows rise as she smirks, and I can't help but let out an undignified bark of laughter that earns our group even more attention. Today is the day that apparently the two bigwig chiefs, Serena's man Rin and the other high spear, Zorro, or whatever his name is, have agreed the two tribes would gather together. Serena's spin on it is that the Trixica are doing this so that us human girls have a chance to meet up and see each other. Ever since these huge winged Trixica guys saved us from their alien jungle of death a couple of weeks ago, us women have been split between the two tribes. I've been trying to bring up the idea of Sky, Tessa, and Gwen coming to live with our tribe, but I get the feeling that tentative peace between the two groups of birdmen would explode if that were to happen. And as for today's little organized shindig, while no doubt us girlies getting to be together is a bonus, I, on the other hand, can see it for what it really is. These himbo slabs of muscle and feathers are trying to coax their super special heart sparkles to twinkle. Speaking of super special sparkles, Mavic stands at the other side of the clearing, arms crossed over his massive chest as he glares in my direction. I just know that meathead over there thinks because he's got a case of the twinkles over me, that I belong to him or some bullshit. No, thank you. He better take that notion right back to where he got it, ask for a refund and a special discount for future purchases, because nobody has a claim over me. And certainly not just because his skin is having some sparkly-ass rash reaction. The fool doesn't even like me. We can't say one civil word to each other without me wanting to strangle him with his own goddamn tail. He's still watching me with those golden eyes of his, though. Closer, in the weird white grass clearing, a few pairs of Trixica are performing fighting maneuvers, trying to impress us females, no doubt. Every now and again, Mavix will bark in order to correct a stance. But I can feel his eyes on me like he's just waiting for me to piss him off so he can bark orders at me, too. Stupid-ass bird man. For the most part, since we've been rescued by the Trixica, I try to keep busy and far away from Second Spear Mavix, which is hard to do when he insists on being the only one to fly me places like here today. I wouldn't mind, except the guy looks like he's sucking on a damn lemon with the sour face he has while he carries me through the skies. I need to tell him to grow up and let a different birdman carry me next time, because I've had enough of looping my arms around the neck of a man who clearly hates me, but feels he has some claim on me. Even after he sets me back on solid ground again, there is an odd sensation on my skin where Captain Twinkles held me. Mostly over the past few days, I like to keep myself occupied by helping around the tribe where I can. If I keep busy, then I don't think. Thinking is dangerous, because along with thinking comes realization. And I've got a shit ton of realizing coming my way just beyond the horizon. I can feel it. It's waiting for me just around the corner, and I can't. I
can't deal with freaking out right now. I've been numb since my last day back on Earth. Ever since I walked in on Josh with that girl bent over his desk, her pretty buttercup yellow sundress flipped over her perfectly perky ass. My life has been in a tailspin since that day. But I don't break easily. I refuse to break. Nuh-uh. Not me. If Mom could raise a child single-handedly, working crusty-ass cleaning jobs one after the other, working her fingers to the goddamn bone to put me through college, then I can deal with whatever's coming my way from around that corner. I just need a few more days to get my head in the game. A few more days of numbness before I face the facts of what's happened to me. What's happened to all of us human women. Where we are now. What our new reality is. And maybe in a few more days my damn period will come. It's late. Like, late, late. It should have been and gone by now, like a bad hookup. But maybe it's stress. It's gotta be the stress, right? Women skip their period in times of stress, and what, if anything else, do you call being abducted by goddamn aliens and then abandoned on a whole other primitive jungle planet, if not a time of stress? Hey, a small voice says beside me. B has come back over to our little huddle with Sky. She brings a hollowed-out wooden bowl with her from the cook fire and places it down in front of me as she seats herself on this weird white alien grass. The same grass I seem to have been pulling out in clumps while staring at nothing at all. You okay? She nudges the bowl toward me. There's fine slices of medium-rare meat in there. Most likely from the maroon-colored deer-like animal the Trixica seemed to favor hunting. I put on a smile. Not too bright to be suspicious, but not too wan to look forced. I think I nail it, but B seems unconvinced. I'm fine, I tell her, taking a piece of the offered meat and putting it in my mouth. I'm not hungry at all, and I'm not a huge fan of the gamey flavor of the meat. But it felt awkward to refuse it. Chewing, I try again for that effortless smile I'm aiming for. The forced swallow and grimace probably ruining the whole damn effect. B watches me a moment or two longer. She's a sweet, quiet little thing. A kindergarten teacher back on Earth, I think. Her intelligent hazel eyes give the impression that she sees more than she lets on. At least, that's how it seems when she decides not to push me further and instead nods her head to where I'm taking another piece of the sliced meat. You don't have to eat it if you don't like it. Zintar gave me some kind of seasoning to try on it, though. Maybe that will improve the taste. She reaches for a small hide pouch that's attached to a belt one of the Trixica gifted to her. Opening it up, we both peer inside. There's a deep red ground spice flecked with something black, like peppercorns. Grateful to be for not pushing me to open up about how I'm feeling at this particular moment, or any damn moment for that matter, I take the pouch and give its contents a sniff. It smells similar to a blend of cayenne and ginger, but not quite the same. A little to the left of that. Like there's something in there my brain can't quite comprehend the scent of. Reaching into the stash of spice, I take a pinch while my gaze wanders across the clearing where the huge, hulking Trixica who gave Bee the pouch sits by the fire. He bothering you? I ask, my fingers rubbing together to sprinkle a minimal amount of the seasoning onto the meat. Zintar is one of the bigger ones. Hell, all the Trixica are huge by human standards, but this guy stands out even amongst them. He stands out for other reasons, too. His body is littered with gnarly-looking scars. Even his face is twisted and slashed, marring what once must have been a pretty damn fine-looking face. Just like all these feather-brained himbos seem to have. From across the clearing, Zintar watches us. Which isn't unusual. Most of the Trixica are keeping an eye on us girls. But Zintar
with his one patched-up eye, is staring pretty intently at B.
Xintar?
She asks, doing an awful job of feigning indifference.
No, he's just being nice.
She blushes a deep, pretty pink.
Mm-hmm.
I make the affirmative noise and nod my head, but I'm not buying it for even a second. That huge bird man wants sweet little Bee to tickle his heart sparkles into existence. Make no mistake about that. The newly seasoned meat goes straight into my mouth and, well, I'll be damned. The rich flavor bursts on my tongue, taking me by surprise. This stuff tastes amazing. I let out a groan of appreciation, and apparently the whole jungle stops dead around me. When I open my eyes again, Sky, Chastity, Tessa, and Serena have turned to check out what the fuss is about, and beyond them, all the Trixica, both tribes, are standing still, staring, some looking like they had been in mid-conversation. Even the ones paired up to display their fighting skills had stopped to look. Shit, how embarrassing.
That good, huh?
Chastity asks, smirking. I roll my eyes before my gaze catches on a scuffle in the crowd of alien birdmen. Mavix's booming voice carries across the clearing, and I see it's him that's shoving every single one of his men that he can reach, trying to snap them back to reality and stop staring. Ah, I stammer, picking up more of the seasoned meat and shoving it into my mouth. Yeah, try it. The spice is so good. Suddenly, hands from everywhere are delving into the bowl, and it's soon apparent that the other girls agree with me. Oh, fuck, Chastity says, already sucking the seasoning off her fingers, with a smack of her lips as she cleans each digit. This stuff is amazing. It's sort of like buffalo seasoning, but not, Sky adds, reaching for some more meat. Now, if we can just find an alien potato substitute to make something resembling French fries and somehow conjure up a strawberry milkshake, I'll be a very happy girl.
And what about my little light?
The deep baritone of Rin's voice cuts through all of our approving chatter about alien spices. He approaches, that roguish smile on his face as he sits down amongst us, his gaze not once leaving Serena.
What would make her a very happy girl?
He says these words while hauling Serena from her spot beside him and into his lap, his tail coiling around her ankle like a manacle. Serena giggles and leans into him. She doesn't seem to mind.
I have been sent over here as the only Trixica with a mate to infiltrate this female tribe and find out what it is that inspired those noises you were all making.
His grin is cocky as he looks each of us in the eye, before returning his full attention back to Serena. I'm about to, A, ask them to get a room, since they can't stop touching each other like they might throw down and start doing the nasty right here and now with the way they're both eye-fucking each other. And B, who sent you to come find this stuff out? But I can guess. Any one of those feather-brained jocks would kill for a bit of insider information on how to entice a female into being his mate. I don't get to ask any of that, though, because the other chief birdman approaches us, too.
We agreed the females would not be harassed,
he says, stopping a respectful distance away before folding his arms over his bare chest and glowering at Rin. Rin tenses, the feathers on his huge dark wings puffing up ever so slightly, like the fur on the back of an agitated cat. I get the feeling these two tribe leaders aren't the best of buddies.
And who is being harassed? High Spear Zarako. I am here with my mate.
He turns his back to the other leader, acting nonchalant. But his jaw is tense and his arms tighten around his girl like he suspects someone's coming to try and steal her away. God, These guys can be such big Birdman babies. It's just these spices, I say, addressing Zeriko. We tried them for the first time, and Ren came over to see what all the fuss is about. Zeriko's cool eyes assess me for a quiet moment or two, before he twists gracefully, turning to lock eyes with Mavix. I watch the silent interaction between the two, and the communication is as loud as thunder, despite no words being said, and despite the distance of the clearing between them, too. Zeriko's body language is practically screaming that he's checking in with Mavix. This your girl, huh? And Mavix's reply of an aggressive jerk of his chin and a widening of his stance just about tips me over the edge. It's like he's pissed all over me to mark his territory. And I don't have the patience for this bullshit. Standing, I march over to Birdman-in-Chief and stick out my hand. Hi, I'm Alana Carter, I start. From the corner of my eye, I can see Mavix drop his stupid macho stance and start heading toward us. I carry on with my introduction regardless. Human female, employment lawyer, abductee from planet Earth, lover of chocolate and movies that will make me cry. Oh, and nothing to do with him. I jerk my head at Mavix as he comes to a standstill beside Zeriko. So, if everyone could stop acting like I'm his little puppy, and you gotta ask his permission to pet me, that would be great. The furry tip of Mavix's tail jerks multiple times. It kind of reminds me of when irate cartoon characters would have one twitching eye. So, of course, I decide to push him even further. Zeriko is still eyeing Mavix when I grab for his hand. This is called a handshake, I say, showing him an awkward variation of the greeting, shaking his stiff but huge hand in mine. The whole clearing is silent and still. Even the alien chirping bugs are quiet. I swear I can hear my own heartbeat in my ears. When someone offers you their hand, the polite thing to do is to... Mavix's growl is a low, menacing rumble from deep within his chest, making me halt in my tracks and drop the handshake like I'd been burned. One of Mavix's hands curls into a fist, the other looking all too twitchy, close to that huge opal-like dagger he keeps strapped to his muscular thigh. I swallow. If I thought tensions at this gathering were fraught before, that was nothing compared to now. Several Trixica are inching closer, eyeing their superiors, no doubt awaiting some form of signal to jump to action and let all hell break loose. Rin has already silently glided on his huge wings to reach us effortlessly and stand beside his second in command, ready to stamp out the fire that's starting to spark.
You dare challenge a high spear? Zeriko demands.
Rin's hands are raised, but his tone is firm when he says,
My second spear meant no disrespect, Zeriko. And yet he issued a warning growl, directed at me, a high spear.
The silence is electric now, and I can practically taste the testosterone bullshit coursing through the air between these knuckleheads. All this because of a handshake? Are you kidding me? I damn near snap my neck from the way I whip my head toward Rin when he gives two resolute commands.
This gathering is over. Mavix, fly your female home.
His second spear wastes no time at all in hauling me into his arms and launching us into the air.
Chapter 2. Mavix. I hold Alana to my chest as we fly. She will not look at me, though. This is fine. At least she has stopped squirming in my arms, trying to twist out of my grasp as if we were not already 24 wingbeats from the ground. She is acting like this is all my fault, though. She is acting like she did not just take another Trixica's hand and talk of letting him pet her right in front of me. She is acting like she didn't make those noises that are going to plague me all this cursed night. She is acting like I asked for my heart stars to ignite for her. And I will assure all the goddesses there are in all the temples of the land that I did not. I would swear on my finest, most deadly spear, a mate is not something I have ever wished for, no less a mate who quite clearly does not wish for me, either. But my heart stars are alight, and there is nothing I can do to cure this curse that ails me. Our home mountain looms ahead, and inexplicably, I want to slow my wing beats just to hold on to her a little while longer. The thought makes me want to growl at myself for being such a fool. We have all become fools since the females arrived. I thought I could rise above it, but I cannot. I am no better than my idiot green male trainee protectors who stand around chewing on the leaves of the deep jungle plant in plain view of the females all day. The trouble is, they hear rumors that a female is more likely to take a male to mate if he is willing to eat the bitter plant. And all of a sudden, you cannot stretch a wing in the village without touching some idiot with a mouth of the stuff. I have overheard tales of our own High Spear and his mate, that because he is willing to eat the horrid plant right down to the root if she should ask it of him, she lets him do things in the privacy of their own hut. I swallow thickly, briefly glancing down at the female in my arms, before training my sights back upon the mountain ahead of us. Ah, Lana would never allow such a thing as I have heard described in whispers, and I should not want that. I am a proud second spear. My duty is to my High Spear, my tribe, and my temple. These females, they are distractions sent by the goddesses to test us, and I have never lost to a challenge or a test of my focus. When a prospective protector has completed his training, he is then put to test in the spear trials, a feat of endurance, cunning, and strength. Our wings are clipped to keep us grounded, and we are dropped at the very edges of the great forest, where the grasses beneath our feet give way to sheer drops into enormous churning waters that stretch out as far as the eye can see. It is up to the tested to make their way back through the deepest, most dangerous parts of the jungle on foot. And I, Second Spear Mavix, proudly completed my own trial in just 3 days and 4 nights, returning to my village victorious, with a hunted Friziki kill slung over my shoulder and the severed hands of 2 slain Mimica scum hanging from my belt. I even beat my dearest companion, Rin, who would become our High Spear. I could do all of that because it was my only focus, the one thing that needed my attention. But now, my heart stars ache in my chest. I wish the goddesses would just show me what trial it is I must complete to banish this feeling away. What is it that I must do? She does not want me, and I do not want to want her. The village is in view, and soon I am landing smoothly, barely jostling the hostile and bristling little thing in my hold. I do not put Ah Lana down straight away. Perhaps I should, but I cannot. I look down at her cradled in my arms, but she is determined that our eyes should not meet. Her arms are unhooked from around my neck, and I hate myself for missing them, stupid fool that I am. She begins to squirm, and I think if I just held on to her for longer, she might start clawing at me like one of the wild, blue-tailed cat beasts of the forest. Will you just let me oomph! I drop her. I tell myself I meant to do it that way, because she is making a fuss and it's nothing but an irritation. That it wasn't because feeling her wiggling to get free, I felt the need to hold her tighter, that if I didn't let go now, I might never. My tail twitches at the thought, no, that's not why I dropped the female like her soft, warm brown skin was burning into mine. Ah, Lana throws a fierce little glare at me over her shoulder and begins to walk away. I should let her go. I do not, and I hate myself for it. That is it? I ask, my feathers ruffling while everything inside screams for me to just... Quiet, you idiot! Let her go. You ruined the gathering and you're not going to even say anything? Ah, Lana spins, and it's like a fire lights in her eyes. Good. If I cannot ignite heart stars in her, then let me light this. Let her suffer with this just as I am.
I ruined the gathering?
She asks incredulously. I can feel the tickle of my skin stars racing all over my body as she storms back over to me.
Are you fucking kidding me? You were the big man baby who growled at another guy just because of a handshake of all things.
I've learned that when Ah Lana gets truly angry, her cheeks bloom a rich but subtle glowing shade. A change in color that perhaps wouldn't be noticeable if we weren't standing so close. My eyes go there and linger, then drop down to her lips, fuller than a lot of the other females. Many things about Ah Lana could be described as fuller, to be honest. Not least her hips, thighs, and that spectacular tailless rump of hers. Unfortunately, I can feel my skin stars start to race down my abdomen towards my cock. I need to steer away from that. You allowed him to touch you. You encouraged it. What else was I meant to do, female? She splutters, craning her neck to look up at me. My tail flicks against her calf, itching to twine around it. I'm such an idiot.
You're such an idiot.
Ah, Lana hisses through her little clenched teeth.
No one is making you react like that, but yourself. I can touch whomever I want, and these...
She reaches up and prods at my heart stars roughly.
Are not my fault, so you need to...
I grab her wrist, pulling her in. What about me? Can I touch whomever I want, Alana? Her breath hitches as she blinks up at me. There's a moment, only a mere second or two, where I feel lit up like a moonfly, while she stares at me. Looking like she's not sure if she wants to push me away or pull me in. I feel truly alive for those 2 seconds. They are short-lived.
You're a pig,
she snarls, twisting out of my grip and storming away. I do not know what a pig is, but I can guess it is nothing good. Standing there, breathing hard for a few moments. The rush I feel when Alana attacks me like a cornered cat beast fades, and I'm left with that familiar hollow feeling that's plagued me for the past couple of weeks. This supposed mate of mine is making me act as foolish as the rest of the males of my tribe, falling over themselves to win a female's favor. Absent-mindedly, I rub at my heart stars as I watch her stomp away. That tailless rump jiggling enticingly as she goes. I need to stay away from this female, I really do, but something tells me I won't be able to, and that lack of control irritates me no end.
Second spear?
My irritation spikes further, and I turn to see Alaric approach. He is a trainee who is fast approaching the end of his youth. His wary eyes dart behind me, where Alana has disappeared. There's concern and pity in his gaze when it returns to me, his superior, and this is something I do not like to see, not from my males, not from anyone. I straighten my spine and lift my chin. What? I ground out.
High Spear Rin wishes to see you.
Rin's hut is larger than all of the others. It is his right as High Spear. It has been this way since his father was High Spear and the High Spears who came before him. When we were younglings, Rin had always desired to lead our people, to follow beneath the wings of his father. I, like all others of the tribe, had the opportunity to challenge Rin before he picked up the title of High Spear. Some even suggested I should. I knew I could outmaneuver him in hand-to-hand combat if it came to it. I even have the superior hunting skills. But Rin was born to lead us. And it had nothing to do with who his father was. Leadership is in his bones. So he gained the honor of being our High Spear. He gained the reverence of our people. He gained the biggest fucking hut this village houses. And as I walk into that hut, my eyes land on how his female, his Zarina, has tucked her small, fragile female body against his side.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?